We have come to the end of a series that we started a number of weeks ago on the nature of the church, leading up to next Sunday, where we're going to celebrate our 10th anniversary together. We've been looking at this through the eyes of the Apostle Paul, because if you remember Paul, now he was not one of the 12 disciples. That gets confused a lot. A lot of people think Paul was one of the 12. He wasn't, although his life did parallel a lot of what was going on. He met with the disciples a couple of times after Jesus had been resurrected. Paul was the first great missionary. Three missionary journeys that he recorded for us through his books. And it was in that time that Paul became also the first great church planter. We planted a church here. We didn't have anybody come and say, hey, we want you to go start a church over there. God just laid it on our hearts. I'm going to talk more about that next week. But Paul was the first great church planter. And because of that, the reason we call him the Apostle Paul is because he had what's called an apostolic calling on his life. In other words, he wasn't the pastor of a church. He was the overseer of a number of different churches. And those are the letters that we read. 9 of the 13 letters that are recorded in the New Testament written by Paul are to churches. Now, there's some other ones that are sent to people. Titus gets a letter. Philemon, I love the name Philemon. What a great name. Jeff, if you have more kids, name them Philemon. No? Okay, I'll go somewhere else on that. Wow, that was pretty quick, wasn't it? I should have said Christy first, and she just shut it down right at that minute. But 9 of those 13 letters are addressed to churches. And Paul was a fairly heavy-handed father. Now, those of you, Dave, I know you've talked about your dad. Your dad was a loving man, but he was a strong man, too. He'd put the boot to you when you needed it. And I know Rod said that never happened to him, so that's a complete and utter lie right there. But Paul was an intense father, and he got after those churches when they were not doing what they were supposed to do. So we're taking that. We're looking at the nature of the church, according to Paul, because it is also the foundation on which this church was founded and built. So the first nature of the church, through the lens of the Apostle Paul, is that we are the people of God. And again, we said, God selected his own people through Abraham, the Hebrew people, but because of Jesus Christ, we Gentiles, who are not Jews, have been grafted in. So we are also a part of the body of God. Second nature of the church, I'm sorry, I keep saying body, people of God. The second nature is we are the body of Christ. And again, that means that we are an extension of God's presence here on earth. Does that make sense? We, the church, are the extension of God's presence here on earth. So they see God in you. What you do, how you act, what you say. Here's a good one. What you don't say, what you don't do. Those are harder, aren't they? It's easy to, you know, be verbal and to say something, but how about the time when something's taking place that's completely unfair, you're getting railed or blamed for something that's not your fault, and you don't say anything. Don't say anything. I don't need to be vindicated every time I go someplace. There are people, I know this is going to shock Karen, it's going to shock a lot of people. There are folks that don't like my preaching. I know, hard to believe. I'm just going to sit and think about that for a second. That's part of being a pastor. Not everybody likes you. They don't like the way you do things. They don't like the setup of your church service. They don't like the way you brush your hair. They don't like the clothes you wear. It's, you know, a lot of people go home and they have pastor for lunch because they just don't like this or that or the other thing. I decided a long time ago, and maybe this is why God waited till I was a little bit older. Notice how I snuck little in there, honey. I was a little bit older before I came into full-time ministry because I was already at the place in my life where I just thought, you know, I don't care. I just don't care. Yeah, I like to be liked. We all like to be liked. But that's not what's going to determine what we do here at this church. And if someone is offended by what is said, it's not me that's offending them. I'm not doing that. They're being offended by the Word of God because God's Word says there's right and there's wrong. There's sin. There's righteousness. And that doesn't change because the culture changes. See, you got me all off track here, Jeff. I was moving in the right direction. I got all off track. So the second nature of the church is that we are the body of Christ. Now, that body of Christ is used to describe not only the local church, it's also used to describe the worldwide church. So when we talk about the body of Christ, it is all of us. But it's also the image of the body of Christ also then emphasizes the importance of the connectivity of church. The connectivity. Not only within the church for us to be united, but also for churches to be united in what they do. And I've shared this with you before. That's why we chose to make this a non-denominational church. We're not anti-denominational. I grew up in denominational churches. But I have come to the point, at least in the call on my life, where I believe that we should be emphasizing our common goals, our commonalities, rather than our differences. Does that make sense? So you're not leaving here thinking, I don't like denominational churches, right? The wonderful things that we've been blessed with, Church of God. I was 5 years in a Church of God, Leon. Church of God does some really good things. But there isn't any Church of God section in heaven. There's no Baptist section in heaven. There's no Lutheran. There's no Methodist. There's no Presbyterian. There's no sections in heaven. We are all going to be at the throne on our faces worshiping God as one body. And there's only one way that happens is through a relationship, through the person of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that happens. So the body of Christ is made up of two parts. We've talked about that. Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of this church. Everything we do comes under the headship of Christ. And then because he's the head, we are the components. We are the parts of the body. And we read this last week in Corinthians where Paul talks about the different parts of the body, the ear, the eye, the nose, the parts that are special, the parts that are modest, and all of those things. Every single one of those things make up the church. But see, the other thing about that too that's important here at Remnant Life is because every part of the body is important, every part of it's also welcomed. So you're welcomed here. Whatever talent you have or don't have, whatever your strengths are, whatever your weaknesses are, whatever it is about your personality that you think, man, I like me in this kind of part right here. I like this part of me. And those parts that you go, if I could do anything to change that, I would. All of that is welcome here. Because that's what it is that creates the body that can then minister everywhere and anywhere. See, there's places that you would be able to go and minister to somebody that I couldn't. Because I'm not you. You've got a gift. God's helped you to be able to be that person. Conversely, there's places I can minister that you may not be able to. But that's why we're one body. And see, one of the greatest things that Satan has been able to do, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, is he's been able to bring division within the very church, the body of Christ. Division. And see, it shouldn't be that way. There is never a reason there should be division within a church. None. Never. And so then this morning, what I want to talk with you about is that not only are we the people of God, we're also the body of Christ, but we are then, thirdly, the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the third one. We are the temple, of the Holy Spirit. See, Paul's saying to the people here at these churches where he's talking to, he's saying, listen, guys, anything else you're doing, every believer should encourage and build up the other person. Can you imagine what a picture that would be to the world if churches never had infighting, if we always supported and loved one another? Now, you know what? I'm never going to do everything just the way you might want me to. I know. That's, again, hard to believe. But I don't always decide things based on what everybody thinks. I think that's one of the difficulties of that kind of a church where you've got to satisfy so many people making the decision. Now, I have accountability here. I have a board. I have elders. I have my wife. She should have said you first, baby. Wife. I'm not stupid. I'm just the way I wear my hair. I have accountability. I can't just do whatever I want to do. We have things set here. We have an order to the way that we do things, but that's because that's the way the first churches were set. We need to be that New Testament church again. One of the things I love in there, one of the things it said they gave everything to the church. That wasn't it, but here's the part. And there was no need among them. No needs. That doesn't mean they were all rich. It meant they were being satisfied in their spirits. It meant that they were being met at an emotional place of comfort and peace. It meant they weren't fighting with each other. It meant they were maybe disagree, but we work it out. We worked it out this weekend. It got worked out. There was no need for it not to. And even if we'd not been in here, we would have gotten it worked out. We've had 10 years of practice of this, Leon. We're pretty good at this now. But you see, Paul was saying, you need to encourage one another. He said the body of Christ is also characterized by genuine fellowship. That's exactly why every Sunday for 10 years we stop and we eat and we hang out together and we fellowship. You know the primary reason we do that? Because you can't sneak in and out of here without somebody grabbing you. Hey, I've been to big churches. I was on the staff of a church of over 2,000 people. And there were people there that I saw after 2 or 3 years, Rod, and I'm asking them, is this your first time here? And they're going, I've been here for 7 years. I'm going, wow. Now, that's not my fault because I didn't see them. But, you know, people can sneak in after the church has started, sneak out during the closing prayer. They punch their ticket for church, and they never had one moment of interaction. Can't do that here. You can't do that. That's why we stop. That's why we fellowship. Because I want us to be developing relationships with one another. That's what the body of Christ is. That's how we unify ourselves and come together, knowing that we can trust one another, knowing that we can come and say, hey, listen, I got some. Can you come over here? Let me talk to you for a minute. I want to pray with you. You can't do that with a stranger. There's no strangers in this church. You see, Don, the thing is, buddy, this is your first time here. You're now, this is Remnant Life. You're part of the family. If we don't see you again for another 5 years, you're still a part of the Remnant Life family. See, that's our attitude. That's our heart here. We don't have membership classes and those kinds of things. I don't know. Maybe somewhere down the road we'll think about something like that, but it just has never seemed like that's the critical issue. The critical issue is how are you treated when you walk into a church? How much time do you have when you walk into a church for the first time? How long before you've made your decision about what kind of church that is? Minutes? Seconds? How soon? You go, yeah, I had a bad experience there. A lot of people have been hurt in churches. God forgive us. God forgive us. We need to be loving. We need to be accepting and kind to each other. And then finally, the church needs to be unified. And you see, Paul knew what he was talking about when he was doing this. Paul knew what was needed there. The people at the church in Corinth had already started fighting with each other. They'd already started debating one another about what was most important. 1 Corinthians 1:10 to 17, they're even divided on who they should follow as a spiritual leader. Remember this passage? We've read this before. They said, now, look, some of us, man, we're going to follow Paul. Others are going, we're going to follow Apollos. Others are going, we're going to follow Cephas. Who was Cephas, by the way? Who was Cephas? You know him. It's Peter. That's Aramaic. Cephas is Aramaic for Peter because that's the name that Jesus gave Simon. You see where that comes from? Others are going, no, 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 we're going to follow Jesus. So through all of this, Paul writes to them and goes, listen, guys, it's not about following a person. It's about understanding that your loyalty, that your love, your devotion is to God, never to a man. And see, that's why here at Remnant Life, you're not following Dave Dorado, you're following God. We are all following God. I am no different than anybody else other than the fact that God's called me to stand here. That's it. We're all on the same journey. We're all. That's why I covet your prayers and I covet what it is that you do here at this church with us and for us. It's wonderful. But Paul said, listen, you can't be fighting about those kinds of things. Why? Why was Paul so concerned about that? Because it brought disunity. It brought disunity to the church. And it was the earliest attempts of Satan to bring division. You see what he did? First churches. This church is 45 minutes old, and already Satan is in there trying to get them divided. The church must stand united. in order for us to deal with the schemes of the enemy. In order for us to be able to stand firm against a culture that is becoming more and more overtly against the things of God. You think it's been bad the last couple of years? You ain't seen nothing yet. I firmly believe that the big mega churches are going to be gone within probably 20 years, if that long. There's no way they'll be able to survive. There's just too much temptation. There's too much going on that people just cannot reconcile how these ministers, these people doing all of these things, and they fall. I mean, you see this constantly. I did my graduate work at Liberty University. Their president got removed because he was doing things he should not do. He was involved in things he should not have been involved in. Now, fortunately, God protected the university, and they brought some godly men in there to take care of business, but it just shouldn't be that way. That's why I love this church, just like it is. I love when we have 50, 60 people here. That's great. You remember the baptismal service? 120 people in that room, and I looked around going, whew. I wasn't nervous about preaching, Tara. That didn't bother me. I can talk in front of it. I don't care how many. But I thought, there's going to be people getting in and out of here without me getting a hold of them. I can't have that. That's why I jump every one of you that walks in the room. And I tell our prayer team to do that too. I say, keep an eye out for new people, and when you see them, jump them. Jump them. Because we're showing the love of Jesus in everything that we do. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. I'm going to read just a couple of verses, and then I'm going to start to wrap this up. 1 Corinthians 3. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the people of God, we're the body of Christ, and we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 to 17. Again, this is Paul, and this is a chapter where he's talking about divisions within the church, but he says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you have it in the NIV, read it with me. You are that temple. You, my friend, are the temple of God. Now, I don't know how that strikes you, but that brings an awesome terror to my mind and my heart when I think of that. I am the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere I go, everything that I do. And how do we recognize or understand that the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, it was the Holy Spirit that brought the church into existence at Pentecost. Second chapter of Acts, remember what happened. Jesus had been risen. He spent 40 days with a whole bunch of people saw him, but he gets to his disciples. He said, hey, boys, listen, come here. Stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave. I'm sending a helper, an advocate is what he called him. And so Jesus ascends back into heaven to be by the Father, coming again someday, soon, I think. Coming again, he goes, and then the disciples go to Jerusalem. In the second chapter of Acts, you read, they were all together. It was a great big group of people, and it said there was a sound as a rushing mighty wind. And it said they saw what looked like flames of fire on top of their heads. And then these different languages were suddenly spoken. It was a physical manifestation of the presence of God. 3,000 people came to know God, came to trust Jesus Christ in that first church meeting. How'd you like to have that as your plant group? 3,000 people. So how many must have been there to hear this? Peter gets up. Of course Peter's going to get up. Peter always talks. Peter can't wait to talk. Peter jumps up and starts preaching, starts telling them about who Jesus is. 3,000 people came to know him. And not only that, and here's what I want you to think about, because maybe you've never considered this. And you know that story, right? You're familiar with that. It said they began to speak in different languages. Do you know that the Bible lists 15 different languages that were being spoken? Because there were 15 different people groups that all heard this. Now, they are the ones that came to know Jesus. They're going to do what? They're going to take that back to their homes. They're going to take it back to their lands and be able to tell people in their own language, this is who Jesus Christ is. You see, seeds are not only planted, but seeds go out. And that's what we are. We are the seeds of Remnant Life Church. Everywhere you go, you are a seed that is planting who Jesus is in your life, what he's done for you. How many of you have ever given your testimony to somebody? I don't mean stand up in church. I mean a one-on-one conversation, you've given your testimony. Bunch of you. Good. Praise God. Do you know what that is? You know what a testimony is? You got to recite a bunch of Bible verses, right? No, you don't. No, you don't. What's a testimony? This is what Jesus did for me. That's your testimony. This is who I used to be, and then Jesus took place, and now this is who I am. That's it. You're not trying to talk somebody into doing something. You're not trying to argue or convince them. Do you know nobody has ever been debated into becoming a Christian? Not once. Nobody has ever received Jesus Christ because they were debated into it, browbeaten into making that decision. It doesn't happen that way. Because you know what the good news is? Someone's salvation is not up to you anyway. It's up to the Holy Spirit. And so that's what Paul told that church. He said, listen, I came in, I planted a seed. Apollos came and he watered it. But Christ gets all the glory. And see, that's who you are every day. That's what I want you to take from church every single Sunday here, is knowing that you have been called to be a representation, to be a light, to be a seed planter of Jesus Christ wherever you go. You say, well, Pastor Dave, that means I have to probably behave a certain way, right? Yeah. Yeah, you do. But here's the good news. It isn't that you're denying something that you want to do that you know you shouldn't. When you have committed your life to him, when you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you don't want to do that anymore. That's why Paul also wrote, he said, in Jesus Christ, the old has passed away and everything has become what? New. You're a new person as a child of God. You're a new person when Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. So the church was founded by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, because it was the Holy Spirit that gave birth to the church, the church then has the indwelt presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's my desire for every single service that we have here at Remnant Life. I have been told by people a number of times, I don't say this, I'm not making this, I don't make things up. I hope you realize that, right? I don't create things in order to support a point that I'm saying. I've heard that done. I've seen it because I knew what the pastor was talking about, and I'm sitting there thinking, that ain't true. Why is he saying that? I don't do that. I've had a number of people that have responded to me, to Katarina, to Lorraine, to Donna, family, and they said, you know, I don't know that we've ever felt as welcomed in a church when we walked into yours. It wasn't mine. They meant to them. They said, we just felt so welcome when we came in. See, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is loving, kind, accepting. That's what we want here. This also should be a place of peace. I think I told you this story before. My best friend, Dave Fulmer, pastor in New Holland, came and preached for me here twice now, I guess, a couple times. But the last time was at the Susquehanna Club. He said he was driving up, and he said he just had such an anxiousness because, you know, he's doing this for me. He wants to do a good job, you know, and he knows you, but he doesn't know you, so he's obviously a guest. He said, but I had a lot of anxiousness. He said, the minute I walked in the door, he said it was gone. He said, I just felt such a peace come over me. I said, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit, man. That's all that is. And see, that's always the goal for this church, because we have the indwelt presence of the Holy Spirit that should be seen. It should be recognized. This is in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? It's a gift. The Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us that know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. He also writes of believers as being the holy temple of God, the dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. And then, and I'm going to probably quit with this one. I got a lot more. This will be online. You can get my notes. You can look at it. But I want to finish with this because this is important. Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling within the church, He also imparts life into the church. A church should be filled with life. Now, I'm not talking about human bodies. I'm not talking about joy and excitement or fun or that, and that's all good. Oh, there was a lot of energy in the room this morning. Sometimes we come in and we're a little more subdued. That's not a problem, but it's just, you know, there's different temperaments and all that kind of thing. But there should always be life in a church. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. Turn to Galatians real quick. Galatians, go forward a couple of three, four, five books. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians is right before all that. Find it? Go to Galatians 5. You know, I haven't said this in a long time. Bring your Bible to church. Bring your Bible. And I know, you guys always say, you got the big screen, put it up there. No, I'm not doing that. Because if I do that, what? You won't bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. Okay, where am I at? Galatians 5, verse 22. The qualities of the life that God brings for us, which we are to extend to people around us, are shown right here. And they're the very nature of God. Galatians 5, starting 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, let me ask you this. It's easy to do that in church, is it not? I can be really nice and kind, even to Jane when she's got a Dallas Cowboys sweatshirt on. That's a little harder, Dave. That's a lot harder. But see, again, doing those things in church, that's good. But where else are you being joyful, kind, patient with the people around you? See, those are the very fruits of what the Spirit should be generating and we should be seeing in our lives. That's how we should live every single day. You go, Pastor Dave, come on. You know, get in the real world. No, that is real world. That's the real world of God. Now, the real world out there, which is not where we live, is something completely different. But that's not how we are. And we should never excuse ourselves to be that way. Well, I was, you know, I just had a small temper tantrum. I was just nasty for a moment there. I lost my head just for a second. I'm okay now. Never an excuse. We should never, ever allow ourselves to be taken away from the fruit of the Spirit and the things of God. My friends, we are the people of God. We are here in this room. We are the body of Christ. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He goes with you everywhere. And I want to encourage you that as we go into the next 10 years of remnant life, is that we continue to do these things every single day. Every person that walks in this room knows that they're loved because of the presence of the Holy Spirit and because of what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. But there's more than that. You got to take that home. You need to take it to your place of work. You got to take it to the ball field. You got to take it to the golf course. You got to take it when you're with your grandkids, when you're visiting with friends. No compromise. This church will never compromise the Word of God, ever. Not as long as I'm in the pulpit. We will always follow exactly what the Word of God says. You say, Pastor Dave, that's not very modern, is it? That's all right. I was born in 1649, Karen. Not everybody knows that. I know. I just want to worship God exactly the way that we're supposed to. That's with all our hearts, our souls, our mind, our strength, in everything that we do. Next week, we're going to come together and we're just going to enjoy some time thinking about what God's been doing here. And again, I'm asking you to be thinking about that as well. I would love for many of you to stand up and just share for a few minutes. This is what God's done in the last time that we've been here. How many of you were at the very first service? Got a bunch of you here. God's changed a lot of things in 10 years. And I'll tell you a little bit more of the story about how we came to be and what it was that God was doing in that time. But my friends, it's all about where God is right now in each and every one of you. So take him with you everywhere you go. Let people see this is who Jesus Christ is in my life. And he gets all the glory and all the honor. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the truth of your word. I thank you, Father, that we can come to these times and we don't sit under condemnation. We sit under conviction. Each and every one of us. Convict me, Father, of those things in my life that I have got to get straight. Convict me, Father, of those things I need to let go of. Convict me of those things that I need to make a more intimate part of who I am. And Father, I thank you that you are loving, you're kind, you're patient. And so, Father, I pray your richest blessing over my brothers and sisters here today. I pray, God, give them great increase. Bless them, Father, in ways that go beyond their ability to even ask or think. I pray healing over sickness. I pray healing over disease. I pray healing, Father, of our minds and our hearts, our relationships, so that we can walk in the fullness of who you have called each and every one of us to be. We give you the glory and honor. God, we look forward to being together next week and just celebrating what you have done at this place. And again, in everything that we do, we give you and you alone all the glory and all the honor. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray these things together. Amen. Amen.